Welcome to episode 534 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy and Anna. Let's face it, traveling with children, especially little children, is very complicated. Even the most seasoned travelers can find themselves a bit confused about the best destinations, planning tips, and even activities for the trips they plan with their children or their grandchildren. But never fear, we're here to help. We've traveled with various kids of all ages, whether they were our own children or not, and we want to help you make the most of your family vacations. So, let's get started. So, I have to admit, you know, all of our children are very well-traveled, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Because, you know what, we're in the travel industry, and so, you know, my kids are like, oh, I've been to Europe. It's like... And they go to school and they're like, you're bragging. It's like, it's not bragging if it's true.
It's, well, you know, I started when my kids were little, and my kids are all in their 20s now, but I really took them to a lot of places because, you know, I wanted them to experience these places. But for me, a lot of it back then was we had family kind of spread out and we would go stay in these, like, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Places where we have accommodations.
Ever went to Pittsburgh? Yeah. You know, but like we went to California a couple times. We went to Texas. Mm-hmm. We went to Disney a lot. Yeah, I mean, like it's just, I don't know. The more they do it, the better they will be about it and the better they'll travel. So you just got to do it.
Yeah, and even when we're here locally, I mean, I took my kids to museums and parks and you name it. So,
Yeah, I feel like it's been a while since our children were little. One thing I wish I had done more, this is kind of jumping off topic, not really off topic, but jumping around from our show notes. I wish I had cruised with my kids earlier because we didn't cruise when they were really young. They were about tween, like they were like 11 to 13 ish when we started. And I just think there's so much for younger kids on cruises now that I wish I had realized that, and I wish we had tried to do that. But yeah,
well, I think the first time we did, Alex was 5.
Yeah,
oh, he was little.
She like the kids club and stuff?
She did. Yeah. Except for the fact that when we took her to Labadee with Royal Caribbean, they had her in a sand pit where there was no shade, and she ended up like a lobster.
Oh no,
that's not good.
No, that wasn't good. But she didn't mind the rest of it. Just not, she never wants to go back to Labadee ever again.
Nice.
So I mean, we were talking about taking our kids on cruising, but of course, there's those obvious things. I mean, you mentioned the Disney and Universal parks, Sandy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, national parks.
Yep, we did that.
And then, of course, you know, everybody goes to the beach. So,
yep.
Yeah, that was a long stint of time that I think we did, like, the beach just about every year. Because, like, we would go with extended family and we would rent,
like a big beach house.
And it got to the point where we had to rent 2 beach houses because there was just so many of us. But, yeah, we would all just pile in and just have
the best
time.
But it's great because you can play past the baby.
Yes. Everybody loves to hold a baby.
Yes, and you can go into the water and leave your kids with, you know, relatives.
Yes. Yeah, or we would leave the kids with grandparents and, like, all the siblings and our spouses. Like, there's 4 of us siblings. I've got 2 sisters and a brother. We would leave the kids with grandma and grandpa, and they would take the grandkids, you know, to go get ice cream or sunset slush or whatever they were doing. And
Build-A-Bear.
Whatever. Oh, and the adults we would go and have drinks and dinner at one of the local restaurants, just us and our spouses, and we just had the best time.
And that kind of transitions into those cruises and all-inclusives because, you know, then there's no cooking.
I do not like to cook on vacation.
And then well, you don't like to cook, but also you're cooking for, you know, 30 people.
Yeah.
And you have this assembly line making sandwiches.
Or, yeah, everybody gets their, like, one day that they have to do the whole meal for everybody.
Exactly. We actually, it was actually a number of years that we did that, where each couple would, like, have a night, and we were responsible for planning the meal. Now, everybody would pitch in for groceries, but, like, we were responsible for planning the meal and
but most of us are not professional chefs that we can actually plan a meal and have it all come out at the same time for 30 people.
Right.
So what if you wanted to do, like, let's say you're a new parent and you're a little bit intimidated about taking small kids to, like, let's say Disney, you know, that's an easy one. So what are some things that you guys think make it easier to make that trip? Like, what are some things that would make it so that it's more seamless and you would have a better experience?
Well, definitely one of the things that I did, even when we took Connor the very first time to Disney when he was 5, and we told him...
waited a long time, Donna.
We did. Well, I mean, I wanted to make sure he could actually remember it. And Alex was about 6 months old at the time. And the thing was, is that we told him, and this is one of those things, we told him, and we were very adamant about it, that he had to walk. Now, we did bring a double stroller, so he had a place to sit, but he had to walk for a good portion of the day. And then when we stopped for dinner, and we were stopping for dinner at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon doing that early bird special, he could ride in the stroller the rest of the day. So he had about 4 hours of actual walking. And the thing was, is that he knew that going into it, and he knew every day that he had to walk for basically several hours. But then after dinner, he could climb into the stroller and get pushed around, and he was tired, and they slept really good because he was, you know, exhausted.
Yeah. That's one thing about Disney. Your kids will sleep good.
Exactly. There so, I mean, no you have to set like those Disney expectations tired. About True. What you're going True. To do. And if you do have more than one kid, especially if they're, you know, younger, you want to make sure you have that double stroller or something, so that way you know they can take a break.
Yeah. So you can, if you're flying, you can check your stroller at the gate, so that's a good thing to know. You can have all that stuff with you right then, and then they'll take it at the gate and they'll put a tag on it, and you'll get it when you get back out. I don't think I flew with the twins, so I have, my kids are all in their 20s, but my oldest was about two, not quite 2.5 when my twins were born. So I had 3 very little ones. And we didn't really fly till they were probably, I think the younger ones were about 5 when we first flew across the country with them. But we did fly with Fox when he was like 2. And that was kind of a nightmare. I was pregnant with the twins, and we were like, okay, Fox is free to fly and to get into Disney, so let's just pop down for the weekend, because how easy is this going to be? It's going to be great, you know? And,
where this is going.
Yeah, he like, so the rental car, I don't know, I guess I had a minivan back then, and the windows didn't go down. Well, the rental car had windows that got down and rolled down, and he figured that out immediately. And then we get to the condo where we were staying, and it had these doorknobs that were like these straight doorknobs, that not round, but like straight latch things. So he immediately learned how to open every door in the place. And then we, like, you know, we had his pack and play set up in this room that was right beside the bed, and he figured out he could just crawl onto the bed and get out. So he was running all around that condo all night long, every night. And it was, I think
you want to wear his butt out.
He had my husband had a little bit of a breakdown on that trip, because it was like, we thought we were so in for it. And then luckily the twins together ended up being easier than Fox alone. So,
and one of one of the big things is, and this is, we did this one time, we flew with my son, and I did not have the car seat with me, and he was a super wiggle worm. I mean, he could not sit still. So I highly recommend bringing the car seat. The great thing is that it doesn't cost anything to bring it with you. You can check it if you have to, but I recommend bringing it onto the airplane because.
So you recommend buying a seat for a child that young?
No, because you don't necessarily have to, but if they have an open seat, you know, you could, but once they became two and they were, you know, I had to pay for a seat anyway.
Yeah.
Bring the car seat on board and get it installed and put it in because you're used to sitting in it when they're in a car. It smells like them. They're used to it. It's comfortable. And so they actually tend to behave better when they're in their car seat than they do if they're just loose on the plane. And then on top of that, also, you may need it when you get there and you need to take a shuttle or a limousine or a rental car. You're going to need a car seat anyway, so at least you know where that car seat's been.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been a wreck or something like that, yeah.
Or, you know, they haven't gotten sick in it, you know.
So how old were your kids the first time you took them somewhere where it was like a different language, like totally out of what they were used to?
We took the kids on that cruise and we took them to, they went to Jamaica.
Okay.
Which they speak English in Jamaica, but it's a little
different. But it still feels very foreign.
It has that, they have like that, the accent. It's different.
It's different.
You're out of the country.
It is different. Yeah.
And I tried to prepare them. I said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, the people that live in Jamaica don't live like we do. They don't necessarily have, you know, fenced in yards and things like that. And I tried to prepare them. And then when they got there and they saw it, and it was like, oh, I get it now.
Light bulb.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good thing to expose them to, I think.
Yeah.
I think anytime you can get them to see how the rest of the world lives, it's so eye-opening for.
It really does. It makes them more worldly and they think about things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have your kids gone to Europe, Anna? I know your daughter has.
Mackenzie has. The boys have not yet.
Okay. That's same for me. Ellie is in London and the boys have not been
there yet.
Well, I took mine for the first time. Alex was 8 and Connor was 12.
And how did that go with, because 8 is kind of young. And what countries did you guys visit?
We flew into Munich. We went to Austria for a week. We drove over to Hungary. We spent couple of days in Vienna, Austria, and then we drove down to Venice. We took 2 weeks. So we did a road trip. The thing was that I wanted to make sure that every kind of destination, everybody got kind of a turn to pick an activity.
That's good.
And so, so when we went to Vienna, I wanted to go to Schönbrunn Palace. And so Connor and I went to the palace and did the palace tour. And Alex, of course, could care less about a tour of a palace. So they had a puppet class at the palace that you could take. And so she did the palace. She did the puppet class with my husband. And my son and I went on the tour. And then my son wanted to do the ice cave in Austria, so we did the ice cave hike.
That's cool.
So we tried to pick things, and then when we did restaurants, I don't usually go to Europe and go to McDonald's, but on that trip, we went twice.
You got to give the kids what they want, at least
some
of the time.
We went out for pizza while we were in Venice. So, you got to incorporate. I mean, you have some things that are more adult and you have some things that are more kid friendly. And you just have to have that mix so that everybody gets a little bit. Nobody's totally happy and nobody's totally upset that they didn't get what they wanted to do.
Yeah. I like that you involve them in the planning. I think that's a good way to get them excited and to kind of be, you know, excited about what they're going to see.
So, yep.
Yeah. What kind of vacations besides beach did you guys do, Anna?
We did a lot of Disney when they were little. Yeah. We did a lot of Disney. Yeah. And I have an aunt that lives in down in Destin, Florida. So we would venture down to Destin and spend some time down there. We'd go to the mountains.
Did you guys do national parks with your kids?
We did not. No.
Okay.
We did.
Did you?
We did. We took them to Yosemite.
Yeah.
I went to Yosemite with my kids. Did you guys camp, Donna?
Oh, no.
Oh. What, did you stay at the lodge or did you just do like a
day? No, we actually were staying in Reno and we drove down to Yosemite for the day.
Oh, okay. It takes so long to get into like Yosemite, you know, like to get to Yosemite Valley. Yes. It's a very curvy road. And
I mean, I took the first time. So my 10th wedding anniversary, we went to Las Vegas and got remarried. But Connor was about 5 years old and we took him to Red Rocks, which is not a national park. It's a state park. But we went to Red Rocks and we let him climb on the rocks and, you know, do the bouldering and everything. And we took him up to Bryce Canyon, which is a national park. So we've done a lot of that. So I think the trick is just letting them run. Go find a playground and let them climb.
Yeah. When we would, so I did Yosemite twice and it was family reunion type thing both times because they don't all live there anymore, but I had cousins in Southern California and we'd start there, did a little Disneyland, and then we would drive up to Yosemite, which is a good hike from like LA, but, you know, we would camp and it was awesome. And so the last time we were there, we went to one of the sequoia groves and those huge trees, they were like, some of them had fallen over and you could climb on them and walk up and down them. And my son Owen didn't want to leave. He was like, I feel like you're never going to bring me here again. Like, I don't want to leave. But
yeah,
loved it. I mean, yeah, they loved it. It was a really cool, that's a really cool national park. I feel like I need to do some more, but yeah, we haven't done any more.
Well, when you travel, I mean, you feel like you're taking everything. I mean,
right. Well,
especially when it was the first one, you know.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about Yosemite. Here's like a little tip. If you want to camp in Yosemite, they actually have these, there's two different places that we did it. One was called Housekeeping and it was a little more outdoorsy, but it was still like, if you could picture like a concrete H, and that would be like two units. So it was like you had three walls and a curtain and you were back to back with another unit like that. And they had cots and stuff in there and you have to lock all your stuff up in the bear box. So you definitely have to like, don't get this sense of safety like you would at Disney where everything's, you know, good because they can still fall off a cliff and stuff. but it's still like, you know, it's cool. There's a lot of stuff that's already set up for you. And if you want to camp there and you can go there, then you can actually rent the camping gear and stuff too. Likewise, we were at another area called Curry Village at the time, and I'm not sure what it's called now, but it's basically these tents that are on platforms and there's beds and there's lights and there's, you know, I mean, it's very, it's not glamping by any means, but it's not like you have to go pitch a tent. So you don't actually have to fly across the country with all your camping gear. You can show up. I mean, it was nice because my cousins had stuff like camping chairs and coolers and things. So that kind of stuff you would want a little bit of, but there are ways to do that and not have to drag all your stuff with you if you want to camp.
Correct. And I mean, there's a Target, there's a Walmart, there's a Walgreens, a CVS. So you don't need to carry half a suitcase full of diapers and wipes and everything.
True.
Yeah. You basically need what you would need for about 24 to 48 hours.
Yep. Yeah. Especially if you're going to somewhere in the U.S.
Correct.
Definitely.
Yeah. Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But the great thing is if you are going to, you know, a foreign country or something and you do you know, carry all that stuff, then your bags are much lighter coming home.
Yeah.
And you have room for souvenirs.
I feel like this is an opportunity for like some sustainable company to make like these trading bins or something. Like, you know, you rent the bin and you just refill it, but you don't take it with you. You know, it's just, it's full when you show up. You make sure it's full when you leave. Okay, this is a business idea, actually. Because it would be really cool to not have to buy all that stuff or carry it with you. Because it can be a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, honestly, I mean, I recommend taking your kids. Just, I mean, we had a lot of family reunions all over the country. And so we would, you know what, we haul off and sometimes we flew, sometimes we drove, depending on, you know, where it was.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I really think that raising little travelers is, it kind of pays off. Because even though, you know, like, Donna, you took your kids kind of young to Europe. I didn't take them that young, but my kids are travelers now. Like, my oldest, he doesn't fly as many places, but he'll get in a car with his friends and they'll go 8 or 10 hours away for a week, you know, and go rent someplace. And, you know,
sure.
Twins were on opposite ends of the world last summer, you know, so it's hard when they're so far away, but it's also like such a cool feeling to know that they're comfortable and able to do that.
It creates independent children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My daughter's getting ready to, which she's never been anywhere by herself, like, you know, away from home, but she's at college and she's getting ready to take a spring break, just a few days, but they're going to, she and three other girls are going to go and stay at a beach house. A family friend has a beach house and they're going to go and stay there for a few days. Just the four of them.
Yeah. Without mom.
Without mom, without dad, without any, just the four girls.
Yeah.
They're just going to have a great time. They're just, you know, they just want to eat and shop and hang out and just have fun. And she's like, I'm like, okay, don't forget to pack this and don't forget to pack that. And don't,
but just there will be stores
and
there.
Do this and don't do that. But you know, she's just like, mom, I got this. I got this, mom. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Okay.
Yep. I know. Well, see,
and book it through your travel agent. And we usually, I mean, most of us will send you a packing list. So you have a checklist.
She will probably get a packing list to her email that says, don't forget underwear. Don't forget your toothbrush. Don't forget.
Yes.
If, I mean, we're going to be traveling together as a family. All three of my kids have chosen to go to Disney this year. That's what they want to do.
Wow.
Yes.
My kids want to do that too, because now they're all old enough to drink around the world.
Well, and they just love Disney. That's what they grew up. I mean, going to Disney, and that's what they love. And I asked them all separately, family vacation this year. What do we want to do? What are we going to do? Do we want to do another cruise? Do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? We want to go to Disney.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I will probably be going behind them and saying, okay, did you pack this? Did you pack this? Do you have this?
Oh, you know what?
I can't.
Once a mom, always a mom.
I can't let it go. I just can't.
And the thing is that we, even when they were really little, and you know, you packed for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
one thing about Disney is, if your kids have grown up going to Disney, when they reach kind of the 15, 16-ish age, I felt really comfortable letting Fox at least go back to the hotel on his own, you know? And I can't remember what age I started letting Ellie do that, but Fox was Fox was like 6 feet tall when he was 15. So I didn't really worry about him that much, but yeah, I mean, it's Disney is so contained that you do have this sense of safety there, you know, like you feel like they'll be okay.
When we were there last time, let's see, Owen is 23. He was 19. Our youngest was 12. Yeah. So they were between the ages of like 12 and 19. Mm-hmm. John and I, we had dining reservations on our own, just the two of us. And we would just let them go and meander, hang out in the park, go get something to eat, do whatever you want to do. We'll see you in a couple hours.
Nice.
Yeah. When Alex
was 12. I've always felt very comfortable with that in Disney. I don't know. I mean, it's not like bad things don't happen in Disney. I mean, it's...
When Alex was 12, I let her go on the ship. And basically it's like, okay, you just, you know, you have to be back by, or, well, you have to meet us for dinner. I mean, it's a self-contained place. You can't go anywhere on a ship. So you had to meet for a dinner and you had to be in your room before midnight because that's the curfew.
The curfew. Oh, yeah. My youngest, our last cruise last year, he would push it to the limit. And at like 11:55, he's going to Sorrento's, getting a plate full of pizza to bring back to the cabin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Disney has those wave phones too, which is another nice thing if you're doing a Disney cruise, because your kid can take, you don't, they don't have to have their own cell phone. They can take the little phone that's in the room.
Yeah.
And you can,
I like
you
that.
You can find them. Mm-hmm. And Princess has the bands that are like magic bands, you know, so you can find, you know, where your kid is on the ship because of their medallion. So,
yes,
they're watching
you. There's lots
of
good ways to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, summary, what is your top suggestion for a destination?
Ooh, destination.
Where would you take your kids?
I would ask them what they want to see. You know, like, are they, do they want to do national park type stuff? Do they want to go hiking? Do they want to play in a stream? Do they want to camp, you know, or do they want to be in a hotel room and do they want to have, like, you know, that be their base and go to science museums? You know, there's so much stuff. I mean, every city has stuff for kids. And if you have something, like if you have your local museum membership or zoo membership, those reciprocate all over the country. So, you know, I had a science museum membership in North Carolina, and we could go to the science museum in Pittsburgh, or, you know, our zoo membership, we could go in Tampa, we could go in Pittsburgh, we could go everywhere, you know, so.
We would go to aquariums at the beach with our zoo membership when the kids were little.
Totally.
They loved it.
That's actually what I bought my nephew and his wife for Christmas this year, was a zoo membership, because they're closer to the aquariums, but we're going to go to the zoo with them, and their daughter's still young enough that, you know, she's free. So, yeah.
My sister's oldest is 25, and she just bought him a zoo membership for Christmas because he loves going to the zoo and just walking around. I don't know. I like, for any age, I really like cruising, because I feel like, you know, with cruising, you can, you know, you've got the kids clubs and the, so like if mom and dad want, you know, a nice quiet dinner together, send the kids away, they're taken care of, there's fun activities, so the kids are fine, you know, but there's kids activities too for the parents to do with the kids. I like that there's like that. I like that, because you kind of got your built-in babysitters there that, you know,
oh yes,
hang out with the kids, so mom and dad get a little bit of a reprieve. Disney is fun, Disney and Universal both, but they're exhausting.
Yeah, they're not so relaxing.
No, I literally was just talking to a client the other day. We're planning a Disney trip, and she's like, I need to just plan on a few days break when I get home, if no work, to just decompress, don't I? I said, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Disney is not a vacation.
If you can plan that, like a day in between or somewhere to like relax at the resort.
Yeah. We still.
We always did that and had a pool day.
Mm-hmm. My kids were. We're doing that when we go in June. My kids are, when we go, they'll be 17, 20, and 23. And we have a planned day off. My husband and son and his fiance are going to play golf, because we're at the resort where we're staying is on a golf course. So they're going to play golf, and we're going to hang by the pool. So, we still, no matter what the age, whether you're 2 or 102, don't push yourself. Like, have a day off to just kind of decompress.
And when your kids are little, I think it's important, too, to try to keep them on the schedule they're used to. Nap times, if your kids take naps, work in the naps. Because
absolutely,
it's going to, you know, if you can keep them on that same kind of general schedule,
they're going to be more comfortable, and it's going to make your life a lot better.
Yep.
So for me, and I honestly, I fought this. I always looked at the Disney cruise and I'm like, you know what? I can't see spending more to go on a Disney cruise than go on, say, a Royal Caribbean or a Carnival or whatever. Until I went on a Disney cruise. Yep. And then I was like,
You drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes, it's Disney, and the kids love Disney because they watched the Mickey Mouse Club and everything when they were little and everything. But it's not that. It's honestly more the fact that they can get Disney without it being as exhausting as going to the parks.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's much more calm on the ship than it is. And you still get some of that Disney experience. Mm-hmm. On top of that, it's solely designed for families. It's everything they do with their staff and their service and everything is designed to work around families. And so if you need bottle warmers and you need, you know, a pack and play and all, they've got all of that stuff. So it's all right at your fingertips. It's so simple. And the one thing that just absolutely just killed it for me, I was sitting at Cinderella's, the Royal Table restaurant. I don't know what, it's not Royal Table on the ships, but where the princesses are. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm eating my dinner, and my dinner was, you know, lobster ravioli and, you know, Chateaubriand. And, you know, I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, this is not for kids. Well, the kids have a different, completely different menu. So I get my dinner, they get their dinner. Everything was happy, but I lean over and I'm looking, and the waitress cast member that was sitting at the table next to us was cutting up the chicken nuggets so the parents didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, the parents got to eat their dinner while it was hot. Mom got to eat her dinner while it was hot and didn't have to cut up chicken nuggets for their, you know, their 2-year-old. The waitress was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, that's why.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
That's that Disney magic.
That difference. Yeah.
Disney difference.
You know what? Then I was like, I understand now why. Yeah. And it's totally worth the extra cost.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I would highly recommend a Disney cruise if you don't want to go to the parks yet, because you don't want to mess with all of that. Because that makes it easy.
I have clients who get anxiety at the thought of the parks, and their children are adults now, and they've done several Disney cruises.
Well,
they're like platinum level. Yeah.
I did a Disney cruise with just my husband. No children.
Yes, I've done that too.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
So, yes. I mean, regardless of all the Disney stuff, but that right there, the service is what killed it for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So, on behalf of Anna, Sandy, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.